You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another special edition of Call What You Want. We're here on location in Arlington, Texas for the CONCACAF Nations League, and now we get to preview the final between the United States and Mexico. But before we get there, we got to welcome back Charlie Davies. We missed you, man.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave you hanging.
Thank you. Thank
Great
you.
Great to see
kicking
you.
It, you know,
so we had Big Tones, Tony Miola,
yeah,
in your place. And he went viral with some of his comments. So what are your thoughts on the U.S.-Jamaica game?
I guess I missed quite the show.
Always our best shows seem to be without
Charlie.
Yeah,
it's funny how that works.
Well, it's funny. I guess there were some tears shed in the Kickin' It recording, which I think is customary now.
Okay.
But to hear Tony's...
So are you referencing that Tony did Kickin' It with you?
He
and that'll be coming
it.
Soon. Okay.
Yep. Which was incredible.
Right.
Tony is, I mean, he's got an incredible story. What an athlete. To win the Herman Trophy as a freshman, to be drafted by the Yankees in high school.
Kick for the New York Jets.
Like, kick for the Jets?
Yeah,
what?
I mean.
Just a really remarkable story. But yeah, I mean, I guess I missed a lot.
You missed a lot.
I missed a lot.
And so give us your thoughts then on U.S.-Jamaica before we look forward to the Mexico game.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were sitting here, we covered it. It was disappointing. I think they started a little bit flat. It took them about 20, I'd say not until 75 minutes did we start to see urgency. So it was a very slow burner. And then it felt like I thought the game was over. So to me, it was too little too late. And they got that miracle equalizer. And then they started to play. And, you know, obviously for me, the name of the game was the changes, the substitutions. That's what really ended up making the difference. Tyler Adams coming in, bossing people, telling people to pick it up, and then Gio Reyna getting on the ball and making plays happen. Haji Wright, obviously, was the difference maker in front of goal. I was really pleased with the way that he moved, his touches. And so, ultimately, it wasn't good enough. Everyone knows our expectations on this team is through the roof, and they should be. We want them to continue to push more. So I'm expecting a different U.S. men's national team come tomorrow.
Okay, so now that we've had a little bit more time to sift through our emotions, Jesse, more time has passed since the game has happened. Before, again, we look forward, where are you now? Have you analyzed or you feel any different about the performance against Jamaica? I know there was a lot of heat around Greg Berhalter, but the players didn't perform either. We didn't really get into that as much. But there were some performances out there that were lacking, and I wonder what kind of changes we're going to see for the Mexico game, if any.
Watching the first half again, the word urgency just kept coming up. Like, if there was a foul, it wasn't like we were putting the ball down and playing, and there wasn't rhythm. And, you know, when you go down in a game, I used to reference one of the old Chelsea teams, like 10 years ago, that had Lampard and Makélélé and Drogba. And they had a season where every time they went down, they were magical. They got better. They raised their level in the match so that now they could get themselves back. And the amount of times they came back from being down that season was massive. So
was that the season with Damien Duff?
I can't remember all that. But nonetheless, my point being is, I always try to encourage, I'd like to have a team when I coach that when the games are toughest or when your back's against the wall, that's when you're at your best. That's what you're really trying to build. And so in the first half when we went down, it never really felt like there was urgency and like there was this sense of, come on, this is how we play now. One pass, move again, sprint to this place, win the ball back, counter press. You know, there wasn't enough power in the game.
Are you saying that collectively? Because I feel like I saw it in some moments individually. And I guess I should clarify, some moments means there is a lack of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there were flashes of a couple moments that we created chances. The Tillman chance I thought was a good little combination. And so there were some actions, but just, again, not enough urgency. And as much as Gio helped at halftime, I really think it was Tyler Adams coming in the game, like you said, that really changed the tempo of our intensity, of our intent, right? And so you always then when you're a coach and your team doesn't perform like that until, you know, later in the match, you're always just going, come on, we have to start like this. Has to be the mentality that from the first second of the game, this is how we play.
Yeah, I brought up Tyler Adams to catch you up, Chuck, and just said that I thought he brought some more balance to the team. I love Yunus Musah, and I'll say it again, I have his pajamas. I love the guy, but I don't think he's a natural six, and I think the team just moved better when you have a natural six in that position. But let's get into this. You brought up Haji Wright. Obviously, a hell of a performance coming off the bench, scoring two goals. Wasn't even supposed to be here initially, but obviously making the most of the opportunity. We had a mailbag segment yesterday, but we saved one question just for our resident number nine here, Charlie Davies, and it is,
let's go,
start, bench, drop.
Okay.
With our three strikers.
Okay.
You have Balogun,
mm-hmm.
you have Pepe,
mm-hmm.
and you have Haji Wright. Bench, start, drop. Who are you going with on this one? And explain yourself. We want to know, especially me and Jesse.
Yes. I mean, you can see here on the graphics, minutes-wise, Ricardo Pepe, I just think he didn't do enough for me. For someone who's not playing, he's not in form. Balogun just, I think he made some good movements, just they weren't able to find him. Haji Wright, he came in. Now, 19 touches, but he was in the right positions, and he was getting fed, and it was because of the urgency and Gio Reyna. That's a big help. So I'm starting Balogun. I'm benching Haji Wright, and I'm dropping Ricardo Pepe.
Okay. All right. Jesse, where are you on
these? Do I have to play this game as well?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put you on the spot.
I don't want to use the word drop for any of
okay.
them. I think they all need to be ready. But I would start Balogun, and then I would bring the other two off the bench and make sure they're ready to go. So I'm not dropping anyone.
Now, do you think that if Balogun had more of a run with Gio, because he only had maybe 25 minutes, I'd say, in the second half, and maybe as the game opened up, because that's when, once we got into extra time, we hit a different gear, and it felt like we relaxed. And maybe if that version of it, Balogun could have had some more success to Haji Wright.
Yeah, I mean, well, like we said, Tyler Adams came on, and then he started yelling at guys. You could see him verbally yelling at guys and using hand motions like, let's go, pick it up. And it wasn't until then that everyone was starting to pick and prod at this Jamaica side. Hey, let's try and figure out. Okay, let's play 1-2s, whip in balls. There was much more of intent and aggression in going forward. And so I think when you have a striker like Balogun, it's important to always look for him and feed him. And there were multiple times where he was making the run, but the ball never came.
Right.
Right? So I think Balogun's, we saw in the last Nations League final, the semifinals against Mexico, he wasn't very good. You know, they weren't finding him. It's the chemistry, understanding. Against Canada, he picked it up, and I think that's what's going to happen here. Now he can make his mark against Mexico.
Now, is there a way or a universe in which Haji Wright would start over Timo Weah, Jesse? Do you think that? Or maybe Christian could go on the right and Haji on the left?
Because, I mean,
Christian's
if you
been
wanted,
excellent for
this is
the, on the
for
right
me,
side.
A bigger argument than even putting Timo Weah on the bench is, do you want Christian to play on the right? Because when he moved to the right in the match, he came alive a little bit more, and it almost looked like he's more comfortable now that he's been playing there with Milan. And if you were to do that, then what you'd do is you'd probably put Haji Wright on the left because he's been playing there more often with Coventry. But I would still leave the front three, and we'll go through this later, but I would leave the front three the same. And I think that Balogun and Weah didn't play 90 minutes, so they're not going to be, right. You know, the guys with the heaviest legs. And now these are guys you count on. I think you put them on from the start.
Now, if we do consider putting Christian Pulisic on the right, again, he's had tremendous success there with Milan this season. Do you think that kind of interferes with how we like to set up when Sergiño Dest, who now should be starting this game, comes back in? Because the way that he wants to run into that space in front of him could be crowded if Pulisic's in his way.
Well, that's why I think they should stay the same way. And not only are you getting Sergiño Dest back, but Julian Araujo is out injured. So Mexico to have a backup right back. So you want to continue to attack that side. And I don't really rate the Mexican outside backs anyway. So you need the verticality. And that's why I think Timothy Weah is really important in this match, because he will stretch. Mexico's back line is slow. If there was anything that you saw against Panama, yeah, they beat them soundly, but they were exposed. They have a slow back line. They play high. I think that it really favors Timothy Weah in a match like
that. Yeah, for sure. That's why, for me, it's another big reason why Weah and Balogun start. This game's going to be different. It's not going to be about playing against a low block and always having possession and creating all these rotations. This is going to be a two-way match. We're going to have to defend, and we're going to have to defend better. We're going to have chances to press and win balls, and when we do, then when we have Timothy Weah and Balogun up top, along with Pulisic joining in, that's a recipe for danger, right? So I would even invite Mexico a little. You know, I wouldn't press every goal kick. I would invite them a little bit. Obviously, they're probably pretty quickly going to start to play that wing play down on both sides, but I would...
You want to bait them a little bit. Bait them in some areas.
And that opens up space for Timothy Weah. That opens up space for Balogun.
All right, we're going to take a deeper dive into Mexico here very shortly, but we have tradition. It's the call what you want word of the day. Are you boys ready?
Uh-oh. You know I am.
All right, so this is going to be a little bit different, because I'm going to give you the spelling of the word first, and then I'm going to give you the clues, and then you guys can get after it.
Okay?
We're going to spell. But is it because you mispronounced it last time? I think that's why I didn't get it.
I will not accept this slander right now from Jesse Marsh. Okay, so the word is S-A-C-A-R.
S-A-C-A-R.
But it's pronounced soccer. It's pronounced soccer, but that's how it's spelled. Okay, here are the clues.
Are you going to... Like, are we going to go, is this a region of the U.S.? Or are we going like...
No region of the
Texas.
U.S.
Texas. That's Texas for soccer.
Saka.
Okay, the only player in the history to play in every position for Manchester United is currently the interim manager of the men's national team where this language is spoken. That's clue one. Clue number two, this was the only country that managed to beat Italy in regulation time at the 1994 World Cup.
Bulgaria. Final answer.
Final answer.
That came quick.
That was with confidence.
That came quick. I mean, what player is that then for Man U?
Oh, got him. The only player in the history to play in every position for Manchester United is currently the interim manager of the men's national team where this language is spoken.
Berbatov.
Man.
They're also playing today in a game.
That kind of...
I don't know if that helps.
I'll go with Trinidad.
No, you guys are both wrong.
Okay.
All right, well.
You want another guess?
Oh, and Tobago? And Tobago.
Nailed it. You just forgot the second half of it. All right, so both of our producers, this is our heritage.
Hold on a second.
Producer Dez.
Okay, then it's Irish.
It's Irish. There you go.
Okay, there we go. I think I said it first. Did I say it first?
We're about to roll the tape to see for sure.
I don't know.
Good try, pal.
Word of the day, soccer. It is Irish. Congratulations to Jesse Marsh.
Irish.
Winning on the nose.
Soccer.
John O'Shea is actually the player from Manchester United. Was in goal against Tottenham in a 4-0 win at one point. So the fun fact for everybody. All right, we're taking our first break of Call What You Want. When we come back, a deep dive into Mexico and how they can or maybe beat us. Probably not, but we'll see. We'll get into it. Don't go anywhere.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, TaylorBrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TaylorBrands.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Semifinal number two, the winner faces the United States. It's Panama against Mexico. This whipped in towards that back post. It's Alvarez again, and this time Mexico find the breakthrough. Martin into Quiñones, trying to cut inside. Julio Quiñones! And Mexico with two goals in quick succession. As that direct ball is in, and on the chip, Orbelin Pineda! That is spectacular! And they will take on the United States in the final of the CONCACAF Nations League on Sunday night. Another edition of this fantastic rivalry.
Welcome back to Call What You Want. A nice little sneak preview there, or a recap, I should say, of the Mexican national team. And
yeah, can we have Charlie get out front and do
we
that
should.
Dance?
That's you got that
like
in your bag?
See. Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's got that in his bag.
Heel kick.
I appreciate that. Well, I thought Mexico was very impressive against Panama. Yeah, there were a few moments, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes in each half where Panama had more of the run of play, but I thought they were very good.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Explain.
I think this was a game in which Mexico were pretty fortunate to get the early goal, and Panama botched some of the early chances they had, and because of that, their game plan went to shit.
Okay. And now, in terms of Panama's
wow.
game.
Panama.
Strong
yeah.
statement.
Yeah, and I think they were forced to abandon what the game plan was under Thomas Christensen. In doing that, they unraveled. Mexico were playing primarily down the right flank in finding Antuna, and who found a lot of joy in space, but the final ball was atrocious.
Which is what he's known for in some ways. Like, he gets himself in great spots.
Yeah.
So, he was at the Galaxy and then didn't stick for a reason. I think these are one of the reasons.
They did do some things well, but I think overall it was a poor Panamanian side that it seemed like gave up. And then you had a Mexican side that were pretty comfortable. They weren't really challenged after, you know, some of those moments, early moments in the first half. So I'm not as high on Mexico as you are.
I'm much higher on Mexico than you. First of all, I think that Panama had they tried to be compact and close down the middle and then tried to press sometimes one of the center backs, mostly Montes when it would come to his side. But then Mexico had this match plan of playing these chip balls down the line with some of the double movements from Quiñones and Antuna, and they caught him almost every time. And they were pretty lucky, Panama. I mean, you're right. Antuna didn't get the final ball always right, but they were pretty lucky not to be down in some of those earlier moments. They had the set piece before with Edson Alvarez, the one before he scored. And yeah, Panama had a couple times where they came down and they looked dangerous. But overall, I thought Mexico was pretty comfortable in this match. Obviously, against the U.S., it won't be the same. I think we're going to see an open match, right, in both ways. And both teams will want the ball. Both teams will have chances to win balls. And I think, you know, we could talk more about it. But watching the transition moments will be, I think, what will be really interesting.
Well, to give some context to this game, U.S. versus Mexico, this is the 77th time that these two countries have faced off. And me and Chuck have played in a few of these games. Jesse?
No.
All right. Sorry.
You've watched a lot of
U.S.-Mexico
yes.
games. Now, this is the third time that there's been a CONCACAF Nations League, and this is the third time that U.S. and Mexico will face off in it. The first time was in the final in Denver. You guys were there.
Yeah.
3-2. That was a crazy game, and we needed some set pieces to get back into that. And ultimately, Christian scored a penalty in extra time to win it 3-2 with that famous photo without a shirt, shushing the crowd. Unbelievable.
It was an incredible match. I think that shushing the shirt one was like the man in the mirror one. That was the World Cup qualifier, wasn't it?
No, that's a different one. No shirt, that was in Denver.
Okay.
Nations League final.
All I know is that game was back and forth, and it started off obviously extremely rocky when Mark McKenzie gives the ball away and then they score right away. And that's when Jesus Corona was phenomenal, and he was in good form, and then it seemed like everything started to slow down, but we were worried about the shape because they were playing three in the back, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting torched. So I think after that game and they come back to win, that set the tone for this rivalry, and then they were able to beat him in the Gold Cup, and I think that's when we mentally were ahead of Mexico.
Yeah, and we've already talked before about there's a gap, I think, that's growing between Mexico and the U.S., and right now we've got the lead. We'll see if it changes tomorrow for the game. But what I do want to also mention is the fact that we play them again in the Nations League, 2021? And it was a 3-0, or excuse me, last year, and it 2023. And it was 3-0. Giorena was fantastic in that game in particular. Another big result for our team to build off of, but their manager at that time, Diego Coca, he got fired after that game in the Nations League semifinals, and we went on to beat Canada 2-0, just to give everybody some context. And now they have Jaime Lozano, Jimmy Ball, as they like to call it. He's put some stuff in place. He went back to the 4-3-3 that Mexico knows and loves, as Diego Coca was doing more of a back three. But it feels like maybe they're starting to regain some of that traction. Maybe we're starting to see a little bit more of the Mexico that we know. And I appreciate it, because the better our rival is, the better we're going to be. So I like when they're good and they're competitive. So I'm curious about your thoughts, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a talent disparity that's developed over the last 5 years, right? Where now we've really gone ahead of them. And they're really trigger happy with their coaches, which has, I mean, I don't think Tata Martino did nearly as well as all of us thought maybe he would or could. But maybe the talent didn't also fit what he wanted to accomplish. But I think now they have a little bit more of their identity back, like you've spoken about. And I think they have the right kinds of players in position to do the things that Jimmy Lozano wants them to do. But the big still question mark is the best Mexican teams had really, really good center backs. You know, that were good with the ball, that were athletic, that were fast, that were big, that were good in the air. And now they have good passing center backs, and they're good in the air, but they're slow-footed. And that can play into our favor for sure.
Okay, so I have a question for you, both of you, ultimately, and I'll answer it as well. Do you think there are any players on this current Mexican national team that could break into the U.S.'s starting 11? For me, Edson Álvarez, I think, should be in the conversation. He's done really well making the transition from the Eredivisie to West Ham in the Premier League. I don't know if he starts over anybody. Maybe he partners Tyler Adams.
That's the strongest part of our team, and you think someone...
No. I just think he should be part of the conversation. I don't know if he knocks out anybody.
I say no one. Okay, and Edson Álvarez is the best player I think they have right now, but I think Tyler Adams is one of our best players, and I would take Tyler, especially for what, you know, like they play a lot of, what they play, it looks more like in a build-up, they play with two sixes, right? And so that's important for Edson Álvarez because he's still not the most athletic guy. And if when we play with our 1-6, we need an athletic defensive midfielder, and Tyler provides us almost exactly what we need from that perspective. So... that's the one position that you could maybe think about. Maybe goalkeeper.
Yeah, Ochoa.
Yeah, Ochoa's big older, player. But still, that could be a discussion. But by the way, in a lot of the positions, it's not really even that close, right?
How about Santi Jimenez? He's got a bunch of goals.
He doesn't play.
I know. He's not even playing for Mexico right now, which I do want to get into a little bit.
We can't talk about a star.
I know, but I mean, just his track record.
No, but he's a good player.
He's a very good player. Got a couple Champions League goals this season and 25, I think, in all comps for Feyenoord. So clearly knows how to hit the back of the net. Maybe just not the right fit. Doesn't have that many goals. I think 4 goals in 22 caps or 2 goals in 24 caps. I might have it twisted in my mind. But yeah, I ultimately agree with you. I just wanted to throw Edson Álvarez because I think he's been good for West Ham this season.
Yeah, yes.
But ultimately, yeah, I'm a huge Tyler Adams fan.
But I think ultimately Ochoa is the only one that really has a conversation.
Okay.
To break into the starting 11 for the U.S.
All right, before we get into the projected lineup we think we're going to see for Mexico, let's talk about the Mexican fans, because they come and they come in force and they come with energy and they absolutely love their national team. How big is that a factor for giving the support that Mexico needs to potentially get a result? I mean, how much of an edge do you think that gives the team?
It gives them an edge, but it also can be, as much as it is a gift, it could be a curse. So, I mean, they put a lot of pressure on those players, and when the whistles start coming, they know they're unhappy with their play. So we saw that in both iterations of the Nations League finals before this. The one, especially in Denver, it was a super pro-Mexican crowd. And then they started to go against them towards the end, and the U.S. wins. I'd say in Vegas, it's a super pro-Mexican crowd, but they turned on them quick. And I think that's, we're going into this one, it's going to be a pro-Mexican crowd. But if the U.S. scores early,
take the crowd out of it.
That crowd's gone. They don't have the same belief that we've seen in prior Mexican squads where they had that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's the big challenge, I think, for Jimmy Lozano, the coach of Mexico overall. If things aren't going well, how quickly can they kind of regroup and get it going again, whether that's in-game management or even if they don't get the result that they want. It's got a big challenge. I don't know if I really I don't know, being the Mexican national team coach must be a different beast.
Well, it's the good news is it doesn't last long.
but I will say this about Jimmy Lozano. It seems, like we already said, he's starting to build the culture back, that there's a belief within the group. And from the fans, it feels like they're giving him time. There's much more patience with Jimmy Lozano than there was with Tata Martino or anyone before that. So I really like what he's done, and he's trying to just manage the situation. He knows they don't have the same quality as this current U.S. men's national team, but I think he's getting them to play at their best. So it should be a game where it's really testy, feisty, and physical.
It's always interesting when you have a national team coach that's not from that country, right? I mean, I've had conversations with national teams, and when we have those conversations, what I want to make sure is that I fully understand exactly what the background of the country is and what the culture is like, and do they fit the kind of football I want to play, and is this really a right fit? Because I think that's almost in some ways more important than even with a club team, right? You have to really now understand the country that you're representing when you're coaching the national team.
All right, we're going to get more into this game, including talking a little bit more about Mexico, but we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to hit pause on this game and talk about the U.S. U-23s, so don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I would say that for us, they are another opponent, with full respect towards France. We know who they are, but we also respect ourselves at the first. And we're going to play against them the same way we wanted to play today. We're not going to change anything in our identity because we've played against France. And actually, it's going to be a good opportunity for us to learn and see where we are standing right now and what are the things that we have to improve or to add in our game model towards the best teams in the world.
All right, we're hearing there from the U-23 coach for the U.S., Marko Mitrovic, after a big 3-0 win over Guinea in the first of their two matches in this international break. They take on France next, that's who he's referencing. France is coming off their U-23s, that is, a 3-2 win over Ivory Coast. I watched a portion of that match, and France is very good, everybody. And I don't know if you saw the Olympic draw or not, but we play France first in the Olympics in Paris later this summer, which should be very exciting. But a good performance, all things considered, Chuck, for our U-23s, taking on a Guinea team that maybe didn't trouble us as much as we thought initially.
Yeah, I think it's a good warm-up match before the big one, right? And in my old stadium in Sochaux, I'm super excited for this one. But yes, the real test is seeing how they can perform against the very best. This is the number one under-23 team in the world, and especially in Paris in the Olympics. So I think it'll be a good baseline to see what the expectations are, so we can set that heading into a big one.
Now hold on, Jesse. You did mention that you were a little worried about our center backs, and I was too, but they came out with a clean sheet in the first one, so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Guinea's not France, basically what we're hearing.
Wow.
But what he's
coming
not saying.
He's coming at you with a lot of blindsiders.
Yeah. Right? Well,
got to be on your toes,
Charlie.
He missed a day.
Wait, so are you saying that the back line is strong?
I'm saying that we haven't probably been tested yet.
Yeah,
and okay. I'm curious to see how it's going to go against France, because France are very good. All right, Jesse, your thoughts on what we could potentially take away from this. Griffin Yao was the man of the match, had two assists in this, and obviously good to see guys performing on both sides of the ball.
Listen, just in general, it sounded – I just saw highlights, but it sounded like it was a pretty complete performance. And for a team that's sort of just coming together, I think that's an outstanding start. And by the way, the interview from Marco for me was perfect. Perfect. Right? Like, we know how good France is. We're excited for this game. We're going to go play our version of football. We're going to be us, and we're going to test ourselves, and we're going to learn a lot on the day. This is the perfect approach for what this game should be.
All right, let's talk about France a little bit, because we're going to face them on Monday, March 25th. That game is going to be on the Golazo Network, everyone, so we'll show you a little promo for that in a second. But when I look at their team, they are stacked. They got Chevalier in goal. I mean, ridiculous. He's worth $22 million, according to some of the outlets
only
out
22.
There.
Only 22 million.
He starts regularly for Lille in the French league. You have Lukeba, who's worth $40 million, plays for RB Leipzig, starts for them. He's 21, 22 years old. Doué scored twice in this game against Ivory Coast. He's 18, plays for Rennes. He's worth $20 million. I mean, they're just stacked. And every one of these players plays regularly for their club team mm-hmm. in a pretty good league in Europe.
Yep.
And I think that's going to cause us some trouble, to your point, Chuck.
Yes.
Is that they played in a diamond? Is that right?
When you watch Thierry's team, in and out of possession, they're constantly changing their shape and their formation. They can play with just three in the back. They'll sometimes play with the outside backs higher than the midfield trio. So it's going to be a complicated game.
It's a fluid.
If you're trying to track it from a U.S. perspective of who are we marking, so it's going to be interesting to see how disciplined the U.S. are against this French side, but. They don't even have their initial captain in Zaire Emery.
I know.
Who is the game changer.
Right.
I think for the Olympics, they're probably going to be able to have most of the players because the French Federation will cater to them because it's in Paris.
So I think if I'm picking up what you're putting down, Chuck, if Thierry Henry doesn't win the gold medal in the Olympics with this team, he's not a good coach. Just throwing that out there.
Wow, Charlie, I can't believe you said that.
All the details for this game. Again, it's happening on Monday. Kickoff is 4 p.m. Eastern here on the Golazo Network, and it is going to be a great one. I can't wait to sit down and watch this, and I hope you feel the same way after the 90 minutes. All right, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we'll get into our starting 11s for the U.S. men's national team. Don't go anywhere.
I mean,
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Call What You Want. We're here at Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium. It's going to be the host of the final between the U.S. and Mexico, CONCACAF Nations League, round three between these two countries. Now, I know we've been teasing it a little bit. And welcome, I'm Jimmy, alongside Charlie and Jesse. But let's get into our starting 11s, our projected starting 11s. From what I understand from the producers, we don't all have the same starting 11. So this should be a fun discussion. Jesse, as the oldest member of our
Thank
show.
You. That's good. Finally, with some respect.
Some respect. We're going to let you go first with a projected starting 11. What do you want to see in this game against Mexico?
Well, I have a few changes, right? So I kept Turner in goal, and then I brought Tim Ream in the back. I think for what this game will require and the intelligence and experience and everything involved with building out of the back and defending some key moments against some talented Mexican players, I think that inserting Tim Ream is really important. So we have Robinson, Ream, Richards, and then Serginho Dest comes back, which I think will also be an X factor for this one. I have not exactly like that. I have Cardozo behind McKennie and Reyna, so like a true 4-3-3. And Reyna will slot a lot up into the area in between lines, and McKennie will roam a little bit on the left side and find balls on the back line, sometimes be connected with Johnny Cardozo. And then I left the front three as they are. And what we talked about, a big reason is because I think that Balogun and Weah and Pulisic can be lethal on the transition.
Okay, Charlie, before we get into yours and before I get into mine,
yeah,
I want to jump ahead then, Jesse. When do you make your subs, and who are the first three off the bench for you? I know it's obviously
Tyler Adams is probably either a halftime sub, or you know, if the game is looking like it's going well, maybe a 60th minute sub. So for sure, I think he has to be earmarked. I think Haji, you have to be looking at when you want to insert him into the match. I think that Pepe still becomes a real serious option, and if you need to push for a goal and you're throwing on attacking players, then you know, I still think you'd give Tillman a chance. So overall, I think you've got incredible options right now.
Yeah, which is nice.
Team.
A lot of depth for the team.
Options.
Charlie, your turn. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I like that lineup that you put out if the U.S. opt to sit back. And I personally wouldn't want them to do that, but if they do that, then I think Tim Ream would be a great person to control the back line and be able to build out of the back.
Wow, what a tease. What a build up here. But, I can't wait to see your lineup.
I'm going what we expect, I think, the traditional starting 11 will be given Gio Reyna starting, right? So Serginho Dest comes back in for suspension. I still think you need Miles Robinson in there for his pace because he's a little bit faster than Chris Richards, and Chris Richards got exposed a couple of times in this match. And if you have Richards and Ream, I think that's where you're really lacking pace. And I don't think you can afford to do that given that Anthony Robinson and Dest are always pushing forward. So Musa and McKennie, right, you think about the minutes that they played. I think you still, because we went into extra time, everyone has minutes on their legs. So I think you still bring in Yunus Musa, and you show that, hey, I still have faith in you given that you're practicing Ramadan. And then McKennie, Reyna, and then up top, you keep that trio together. Now with Reyna there, the number 10, to support the front three, I think that's the perfect mix.
I like Musa a lot, but when he plays the lone six, or when, you know, and McKennie, when he's playing the six, he kind of roams around, you know. So I just felt that having more of a natural defensive midfielder in Cardoso was going to be important. But I get it. I like Musa too, and I think he's a big part of the overall development of the team. But that's the one thing, is you still got to have some ball winners in the midfield. You still got to have somebody who has a real defensive presence and can anchor what we want to do. So,
well, I love that. That's a great segue into my lineup. Let's get into that, everyone, because I have a couple changes, kind of a mix between what you guys have in mind and how you're explaining it. I've heard that Tyler Adams has the at most 45 minutes in him, or that's all Bournemouth really wants to see him play. So I have Tyler Adams starting. I want him to set the tone right away, and Yunus Musa is going to make way to bring Tyler Adams into the team. And then you can bring Yunus Musa in at halftime, or potentially Johnny, based on how the game is going. I got Destin, of course, and I went with Ream as well. I do think that they're having his presence to be able to hold the ball under some pressure, hit that big switch that he's very good at, and potentially if Weah comes tucking in, can they find Dest on that big switch? So this is, and obviously Gio Reyna in there, and given, and I don't know the last time we've actually played with Reyna, or if we ever have, essentially with Tyler and Weston at the same time, because Tyler's been hurt for so long. The time we finally brought Gio centrally was in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal last year, and he was excellent. Now it was McKennie and Musa in that particular moment, but now you got Tyler in there. And to your point, Jesse, I love his presence. And to what you were saying before, Charlie, his accountability, he puts people in good spots. Do your job, and making sure that they do their job. I mean, if Tyler Adams was yelling at me, I would be doing my job times 10.
So I mean, my thing is, you'd rather him start than come in at finish the game? I would rather have Tyler Adams knowing the game. Let's say the game 0-0.
I understand that, but I'm just thinking about a minutes restriction. Like, if he's legitimately on a minutes restriction, which Greg honored by taking him out in overtime in the game against Jamaica, and he's only got 45 minutes, are you going to take – he does what, the second half, and then you take him out for extra time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather him set the tone and put the guys in good spots. Let Musa and Cardoso see what the game looks like and see how Mexico's trying to hurt us, and then you put those guys in. I don't know. That's me. I love Tyler.
I understand. I perfectly understand the argument, but I would lean more toward having him on the pitch at the end of the match, just like he was, and making sure that
that's fair.
If whatever the scoreline is, having Tyler on at the end of the match is what you want.
Yeah,
so,
agreed.
Yeah.
I was a little torn, too, I should admit, about Chris Richards. I'm still a little bit – I have high standards for him. I think he's a terrific player, and he can't just switch off. Given that breakaway up against Jamaica.
He's not slow, by the way. He's not. Like, I've seen in Champions League when you get the list after the game of everyone's top speed, and when we played Bayern Munich, he was one of the fastest players on the pitch. So he's not slow. It's just in that moment, for whatever reason, I don't know if he shut down or he didn't react. He didn't have the urgency to handle the play.
Well, he probably didn't think the guy was as fast.
And he was playing against a sprinter.
I'm not saying he's slow, but what I'm saying is you have Antuna, you probably have Chucky Lozano starting in this one, and those are two quick guys.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can afford to play two center backs that aren't exceptional.
And I mean, this could be redemption time for Tim Ream, because he didn't shower himself in glory in the final in 21 when he got beat on a goal by Diego Lainez. I know we were in a back three and he kind of got isolated.
That's when he was mad at you, I think.
Right? Well, yeah, he's probably still mad at me.
Tim Ream's played so well since then.
He's been fantastic. Of course.
That was a long time.
I remember a bad game you had in like 2009, too, and you've redeemed yourself.
Oh, my God. He's catching strays.
Man, I thought we were having fun here.
All right, let's take a look at
projected lineup from Mexico. We don't have any all individual ones, but we'll throw out a big one here that we think is going to happen. Now, you brought up Chucky Lozano. Didn't start in this last game, came on as a super sub and had some chances overall, Chuck, but you think you'll see him in this one tonight?
I do.
Tomorrow, on Sunday?
Well, Quiñones is, I think, hurt.
Yes.
Right? So yeah, I think you're almost.
And then on top of that, I'm not a big fan of Henry Martin. I am not. And I don't know what Jimmy Lozano is waiting for in terms of giving another run out to Santi Jimenez, because Santi is one of those players who's finding the right form in Europe. He's relied on to score goals, to hold up the ball. And in this type of match, that nine hold up play to allow Lozano and Antuna spacing behind is going to be key. And I think he needs to start this game.
We should also say that number nine, Julian Quiñones, who scored against Panama, is out for this one.
That's what I just said.
Well. Oh, I thought you said Antuna.
No, I said Quiñones.
He said Quiñones.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm just making sure everybody didn't miss that. Just making sure.
It's all right. Good job, Jimmy.
Quiñones.
Quiñones. Yes. So.
Muy bien.
Since we've already made it clear, we don't necessarily fear this Mexican team, where do you think they could potentially hurt us, Jesse? I mean, is there some vulnerability? I guess it just depends on where we hold our line and what we're trying to do in teams and how we press.
I wouldn't say don't fear them. Right, I think we're better and from position.
You still got
to
do
position,
the work, of course.
But they have a good team, right? And they play together, and if they start now getting on the ball and putting little combinations together and playing in tight spaces, they can be really good, right? And if they are going to attack us on the wing again, and maybe target Sergiño Dest on that side and see if they can get in behind there, and you know, I mean, this will be a fun matchup to watch as well, because you know you've got Dest against Chucky, and they're on the same club team, and so they know each other. So you know, I think that the U.S. is going to have more urgency. They're going to have a good start. They're going to have to be physical. They're going to have to press Mexico in the right moments, and they're going to have to be good in transition.
I believe we're going to see that type of response, because it was just not there against Jamaica at all through the first 90 minutes, but especially in the first half, to your point. Didn't lack that urgency, and I just think we're going to get that type of response, which is why I think Tyler Adams is going to start. He's going to provide
that. That's a good argument. That's probably what I should have said.
I would have won you over a little bit earlier. All right, so let's talk about which manager you think needs to win this more. Is it Jimmy Lozano from Mexico? Is it Greg Berhalter from the United States? Obviously, not only for the Nations League, they got Copa America preparation coming up, and then the World Cup in their sights a couple years down the line. Who's under more pressure? Who needs to win this more?
You could make an argument for both. Easy. Who has more to gain from this? It'd be Jimmy Lozano, for sure. Who has more pressure? It's going to be Greg Berhalter. Because
what pressure does Greg have?
The pressure that the supporters and fans put on Greg Berhalter.
But we watched the match on Thursday night, and we were down a goal for 96 minutes to Jamaica. I didn't hear one whistle, one boo, one any aggressive anything from our fans.
Yes, you know there's pressure on him.
Yes,
especially in the
but
media.
From who in the media is hard on?
I'm not going to name any names.
Greg. Yeah,
no,
but
I mean,
I'm not
going to
say.
I'm not
going to
say any names. But
I'm not going to point.
I feel like there's
please.
A person who
listen,
may or may not
I would
be
argue,
adding pressure.
Jimmy Lozano. Okay, he has pressure from the Mexican media. He has pressure from the Mexican fans. He has support, right? But they have pressure to perform. and they need someone now that can help the team move forward in a good way, because the national team hasn't been in a good place.
Right. That's why I think there's more to gain from him winning.
Of course. But Berhalter really doesn't get any pressure, and the U.S. team from in the stadium. The media, I think, is relatively kind in America versus in Mexico or anywhere else in the world where the game is more relevant. And internally, clearly, Greg Berhalter's embedded with the U.S. national team brass. Like, so Greg is going to be here now and for Copa America and the World Cup, right? So his focus should be on continuing to develop the team and really get them ready for the summer and get them ready for 2026.
I disagree in the sense that if they don't win this against Mexico, a weakened Mexico side, and their performances are really poor in Copa America.
So what will be the result?
What?
So we'd have
Greg lose his job? No chance.
I think...
And there's not a big... There's not a big energy behind our fan base that's really forcing themselves on top of
so you think,
the national team.
So you think because he won't lose his job, in your eyes, there's no pressure on him?
Well, ultimately, that's what pressure is. It's about now meeting expectations so that you can continue the process of what you're trying to do with your team when you're a coach. That's almost entirely of what it is.
For me, it's the pressure of keeping up with the expectations and not losing the team. Because if you lose the team with poor results, poor decision making, that's the pressure you're up against. And with this World Cup coming, everyone wants the U.S. to go further than they've ever gone before. The pressure will be there if the performances don't match the quality of this team.
Listen, I want to reiterate that the Jamaica game was the third consecutive game in a row where we didn't perform well. Trinidad, the CONCACAF Nations League quarterfinals, at home, we did not look good, and we needed a couple late goals and a red card to get the result. We go down to Trinidad, we get a red card early from Serginho Dest. Obviously that complicates things. We lose 2-1, and then we put out that performance against Jamaica.
Yeah, but has there been any real pressure?
I'm just saying.
Fans, from the media in the last 3 days, almost none. And by the way, then Berhalter went in the press conference and says something about us, and we haven't really even put any pressure on him. Right? Like, yeah. Let's be honest. Like, it's not compared to the standards of what this sport is in other countries around the world. Sorry, but the U.S. national team coach does not have much pressure, especially considering what his relationship is with the inside of U.S. soccer. I think he's supported entirely.
Okay, we got to tap the brakes on this conversation, even though I'd love to talk about it for another 15 to 20 minutes more. It's a good thing we continue to do this show. We can get into it a little bit later. We're going to take our last break of Call It What You Want. When we come back, got some more fun stuff. So don't change the channel. Welcome back to the stretch run of Call It What You Want. And as a reminder, as you can see here on the screen, the Champions League third place game is happening first on Paramount Plus, Panama versus Jamaica. All that action will happen on P Plus and the Golazo Network starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then following that, the big one, U.S. versus Mexico, which begs the question, Charlie Davies, I'm coming to you first. What has been the best U.S.-Mexico game that you have ever been a part of or seen or played in, or the platform's yours?
Yes, it would be the very first match in Foxborough Stadium that I got to watch the U.S. Men's National play in 1997. It was a 2-2 draw. The drama, the rivalry, you could feel it, you could sense it, and that was the moment that the dream was born for me. My ultimate goal was to play for the U.S. Men's National Team, play in a World Cup, but most importantly, play against Mexico.
And you did.
That was...
And you scored an Azteca, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, I can't believe you didn't say that.
I know,
that.
I would have said
amazing.
That.
No.
And
good for
I want to give a shout out to, you know, Eddie Pope and Colby Jones and Marcelo Balboa and John Harks and that whole group.
Yeah.
Because they inspired me as a kid, right? To see them out there balling. The dream was born for me. So it led me to eventually getting the chance to play against Mexico.
That's awesome.
So proud.
Estadio
Azteca.
Yeah.
Jesse,
love
how about
it.
You?
2002 in the World Cup.
That's a good one.
Right. I remember being in a bar in downtown Chicago in the middle of the night watching the match. Brian McBride, a cutback from Josh Wolf, who was my teammate at the time. Brian McBride finish. Second half, Landon Donovan.
I love those jerseys, by the
huge,
way.
Huge, huge wow. Moment. I mean, all of us in the U.S. were pinching ourselves because we had made it to the quarterfinal. And by the way, that group almost almost made it
look
to the semifinals.
Look at Tony Miola there.
So close, yeah. Listen, even when we talked about signature wins and they beat Portugal, who was number one in the world in the first match of the World Cup, and it sparked so much interest. It was, I think, the first time that the country was, after the 94 World Cup, right, where the country really had momentum and energy and passion for what the national team is and was.
Okay, I hear you guys. Those are special moments, but really, the best moment ever in U.S. men's national team history is my goal against Mexico in 2007. Let's roll the clip, shall we? Let's do that. Unbelievable scenes.
What year was this?
2007.
1986?
No, oh, okay. In Phoenix.
Yeah, this is
fun fact about this story is that Landon hit all of his corners in the first half at the near post. And I said, listen, man, at halftime, just put it in the mixer so I can attack it. And this was the first corner after I had mentioned that to him. That's why we were kind of laughing at each other.
See,
I didn't know what to do with my hands, by the way. I never thought I'd score for the U.S.
That was a bullet of a header.
Bullet of a header.
Charlie, Jimmy went the other way from your Mexico experience.
Yeah. Throwing
good
some
finish.
Shot on that.
Well
dig it
done,
out of your
Jimmy.
Net.
Where's the guy in the back
Sanchez.
Post? Where's the guy in the back post?
Dig it out of your net. I don't
Roger
Padactor. All right, that's it for our show. Thank you so much for watching Call What You Want. We've had a great time here in Arlington, Texas during this Nations League. Make sure you watch the final, U.S. versus Mexico, happening on P+ tomorrow. It's going to be a great game. We're expecting some fireworks both on and off the field, and it should be fantastic. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount+ with Showtime plan.